What a line. Spirit, lead me where my faith is without borders. That's where he wants us. That's where we're going. You with me? I want to say before I begin, big word of gratitude to the team that's been here, to Scott Ward for carrying the load for longer than he expected to, and Vern also, and others that have served and supported. You are the church. You are the people of God gathered around Jesus, who is our true leader. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you for the beautiful time that we are having in your presence, the music, the worship, the testimonies, the times to talk with you from our hearts. Father, we ask that now, as we open your word, that you will speak to us in a way that transforms us and moves us forward in the path you want to lead us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. When I was a kid in Fortuna, California, there's someone else here, by the way, who was a kid in Fortuna, California with me, my best buddy, best man in our wedding, Scott Went, right there, from Ceres. But I remember, and maybe you remember this too, Scott, there would come a time in communion when they were passing out the bread and the grape juice, and they would ask people to give their testimonies of some kind. I don't know what the custom is here, but maybe you've been in a church like that. And I remember must have been around the age of 10, 11, or 12, feeling like for Jesus, I should say something, but not wanting to. And literally quaking and shaking. Another thing I remember, and this lasted surprisingly long. I remember long after I had become a preacher, I got to where I was comfortable up front preaching and doing the things that I was called and asked to do. But there was one great exception. If I was sitting in a Sabbath school class and I felt like there was something I wanted to comment on and share about, that was different. You see, up here, I'm expected to be here. You know what I'm saying? And if I didn't come up here when I was expected to be here, that would be a problem. But sitting in a Sabbath school class, there was nowhere in the program that said I was supposed to make a comment. And even a long ways into my time as a pastor, when I would reach that moment and I had something, that's probably as scared as I ever got of anything. Oh, do I have something? Shaking and quaking. I also remember when I was a kid, sometimes I would be in fear about my own salvation. Probably some of you have been there wondering, had you done one thing too many wrong? Scared, wondering if you were someone who was on the path to the kingdom or if you were some kind of a throwaway. The question I have for you this morning, does God want his children quaking and shaking, wondering where they stand with him, and wondering if they are where they belong, doing what they are supposed to be doing? Does God want you quaking and shaking? Not on your life. He does not want you quaking and shaking. He wants you to know that you are accepted in his family. He wants you to know that he cares, and he wants you to know that you are where he wants you to be, doing what you want, what he wants you to do. And for all of that, he has given himself and everything that we need so that we can do just that. I would like to invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 John, just before the book of Revelation, and turn to chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 11. This is what God wants for you. This is what God has already accomplished for you and has for you. It says this, and this is the testimony. And what is testimony supposed to be? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? "This is the testimony, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has a chance at life." Is that what it says? No. It says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And then I love these words. "Too often have I talked to people who have been serving the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years, and they still wonder if there's a place in heaven, if there's a place in God's kingdom for them. But here's what it says: these things I have written to you who believe, who trust, who have faith in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Usually I end right there when I'm quoting this passage. That's plenty to preach on, plenty to share, plenty to bring to your heart, to give you assurance that through trusting Jesus, you can know that you have eternal life. You can know that you are accepted in his family. You can know that your sins are forgiven and washed away, never to be found again. But there's more. Verse 14 and 15. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." By the way, do you know that today is officially the North American Division Day of Prayer, isn't it, Dr. Secretary? Yes, it is. You know the church calendar, right? Today is officially the North American Day of Prayer, North American Division Day of Prayer. By the way, did anyone happen to glance at the headline of the Lodi paper this morning? What's it say? Pray for rain. Are you praying for rain? We should join our community, by the way, in praying for the literal physical rain that we need here so that we can continue the job of feeding the world, and so that farmers and others can prosper and do well, and the crops can come in, and that we all can have enough water, even for the lawns. But I hope that you're praying for a greater rain. And that's what our church is called together, to pray for God to pour out his Spirit on the church, that is, on all who are gathered around believing in Jesus, and to pour out his Spirit in the community, so that people's hearts would be drawn to him as his message is given. We join in prayer. Look at that word. "Now this is the" what? Confidence. Confidence, when you're around confidence, there's sometimes that's very reassuring to be around confidence, and there's other times it's kind of off-putting, right? I was joking with someone last night at the rehearsal. We were looking at the bulletin and saw the sermon title there, and said, "Whoever that Bob Mason is must be a cocky one to use that as a title." Confident. That can be off-putting. But God is saying right here that when you come to him, he wants you confident. He wants you assured that you're coming to someone who already wants to hear you, who's already anxious to do good for and through you. This is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Let me tell you how my family and I arrived at a condition of confidence coming here to Lodi English Oaks. We did not start there. Let me tell you that for sure. We did not start confident about coming here. As Mark told you, we were pastoring up there. I don't think you told him that that's my home country up there. I grew up around Redwoods. And my mom still lives up there. My brother's up there. And boy, it was good to be back home. We survived that whole prophet without honor thing. And and really meshed with our church family up there. Had such a wonderful experience. So, I get a call asking us if we would be willing to interview, to come here to Lodi English Oaks. Now, we pretty much always will say yes when we're asked to come and interview, because we do not want to close any door that the Lord may be trying to open. We believe with all of our hearts that the only place in the world to be is where God wants you to be. And so we never want to close the door if he's trying to lead us somewhere. So we said, yes, we will come and interview. And so we came down and we met in that room down there, big circle. And, you know, usually when you think of a person coming to a job interview, you know, all their friends are pulling for them. Did you get the job? Did you get the job? I was very clearly in the mode of, is this where God is leading or not? If it's not where he's leading, no problem. Very happy. If it is, we want to go. So we met there in that room, and we talked together, we prayed together, and then later that night, I got the phone call that said, it's a go. And I'll tell you, my first response to that was, oh, now I have to decide. You know, if it had been, nah, stay where you're doing what you're doing, I would have been, oh, okay, all right. I wonder what it would have been like and everything, but okay. But it was, yes, please come. Oh. So I said to Dr. Woodson and to Elder Ward and said, well, we will pray. Of course, we had been praying ever since we had heard of the possibility. We will pray, and we will ask God to show us. And so my prayer to God was this. Lord, if you want us to come, you need to make it very clear, undeniably clear, that we are to come. I prayed that night. I think it was a Thursday night. And I prayed it in the morning when I got up. And when I got up, no, that was a Wednesday night. And in the morning when I got up, guess what I woke up praying? I woke up praying, Lord, if you want us to come here, please make it very clear. I didn't want to put any conditions on him. And I hope you learn this. When you're praying to God, no one is more trustworthy than him. He wants good things for you more than you want good things for you. So I wasn't going to say, Lord, if you get me this kind of house, or Lord, if you do this or that in this area, then I'll know it's you. No, just, Lord, make it clear. Almost immediately on Thursday morning, when I prayed that prayer, a powerful impression came into my mind. Doesn't often happen, and it doesn't often happen that powerfully. A powerful impression came into my mind, and the impression said, your answer will be in your Bible reading this morning. Am I kooky? He gave me a look, doctor. Okay, it's like, he goes, the answer will be in your Bible reading. Now, at that time, I was doing my Bible reading on my orange-covered Amazon Kindle. And I had been studying some other things the previous several days, and so my regular progression of Bible reading didn't remember exactly what was going on where I was reading. And so I opened my Kindle. It's so wonderful. It takes you right to where you left off. You don't have to thumb through or anything. I opened my Kindle, turned it on, and started reading in Acts chapter 20 and verse 13. I had read through verse 12 previously. Started reading right there. And as I read, I started to read the story of Paul saying farewell to the Ephesian elders. You think that's funny, don't you? Yeah. And again, I said, oh. Now I'm starting to sound like Eric Behare. You remember that story? And I said, oh. Remember Mimi? Anyway, so I said, oh. It was all much faster than I expected. You know, I expected him to unfold his will, to unfold his leading. And boom, there it was. So this is where I got a little bit maybe audacious and out of the zone. I said, please, you got to show me something else. After all, that was a little bit of a downer of a sign anyway, wasn't it? Saying farewell. So immediately, same exact kind of experience, a powerful impression. Sometime soon, you're going to have a conversation with someone who's not directly involved in this situation, and you will know from that. Well, we went on back up to McKinleyville and carried on, and it was July 9. I had my computer sitting on the table across in the other room, actually, and it had Facebook still sitting on it. And those of you that are on Facebook, you know how when a message comes through, it makes a little bloop, and I heard a little bloop. I said, oh, I wonder who that is. So I go over there, and here was a little window popped up, a guy that I had known in a field training school that we were at after seminary. He was opening a conversation, and all it was he just wanted to, he wanted me to listen to an interview that he was in on a webcast. I'm probably one of several that he sent that to. He was getting his friends to listen to this interview. And for some reason, I decided, you know, anytime someone sends you a link, little cybersecurity tip for those of you who need one this morning. Anytime someone sends you just a link, you don't want to click on it, right? Because it could be someone trying to get you to go to a website that's going to hack your computer, make it part of some cyber bot army, or destroy all your data or steal your financial information. So I decided to respond with a couple of conversational bits so that I could know that it was him, not some hacker. And so we started a conversation, and he naturally said, so what's going on? What's new? Catching up after all these years. And so I don't know why, but I just started talking since, I guess maybe since he was a ministerial colleague. I talked about the decision that we were dealing with and trying to find God's leading in. And here's what happened in that conversation. We came to a point where I said this. I said, I've been pastoring in my home country, Humboldt County, and now I'm exploring whether God is leading my family and I to Lodi. And here's what I said. You can take it however you like it. I said, is it possible to take a big position without being big? And he answered, humility creates intimacy and a depth that radiates Jesus. Don't know if big will allow it, but if he calls you, you have to try. I don't know what that means to you, but I knew exactly what it meant to me. I actually responded, I wish you hadn't said that. Said, I like the first part, but that second part. And I knew. I knew that was what God had told me was coming. But God didn't trust that. He did not trust that that was enough. Because as I got up from closing that conversation and went into still another room, Stephanie had left the radio on, KVIP out of Reading. And I hear, just as I enter the room, this radio announcer, which, like a good radio announcer, has a godlike voice, saying, "It's now time for our daily reading from My Utmost for His Highest." And so I was listening, and he was talking about this is Oswald Chambers talking about the scripture where Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord," Joshua 24:19. And they responded, "Yes, but we will do the will of the Lord." And then here are the lines that I heard. Get this, in this godlike, deep, echoey radio voice. These words came over the radio. "Are you relying on yourself in any manner whatsoever regarding this new proposal or plan which God has placed before you?" No, I didn't ask for anything more. I was already settled, I thought, but God wanted to be sure. "This new proposal or plan which God has placed before you." He said a few other things about it, and then he gets to this paragraph. "The people said to Joshua, 'No, but we will serve the Lord.'" Verse 21. "This is not an impulsive action, but a deliberate commitment." And here's the part that just nailed it. "We tend to say, 'But God could never have called me to this. I'm too unworthy. It can't mean me.' It does mean you. And the more weak and feeble you are, the better. If I didn't know before, when that godish voice said, 'It does mean you,' I knew it meant me. And so, thank you so much. You're speaking the truth, because home is where God wants you, isn't it? And so, as I was preparing to call Dr. Woodson, I realized that in some discussions about hypothetical possibilities, the time frame that we had suggested just wasn't going to work with the things that we needed to accomplish in our family and in the church where we were serving. And so I didn't mean this as a sign or a fleece or anything like this, but I called up Dr. Woodson and I told him, I don't remember if I told you any of how the Lord led and made it clear, but anyway, I told him, "Yes, but we're going to need to do it at the new year." And then it was his turn to say, "Oh." And I said, if the church can't wait and they want to go find someone else, that would be all right too. But that's what we have to do." And he said, "I'll check." And of course he did check. And you folks graciously said, "Yes, of course. We respect that. And given the same circumstances, we would hope that you would treat us the same way." So as I stand here today, I and my family know that we are where God wants us to be. We know that we are on the mission with the team, with the people that God has called us to be with for the purpose of bringing people to the family through Jesus Christ and of helping each other all the way home. That's what we are gathered here for. Now, I, at this point, had peace. I had confidence. I was definitely okay. I had no more questions. Just full speed ahead. Definitely in pain at the thoughts of leaving people that I loved. But about going, no question. Absolutely confident. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she went along with my stories, but they didn't happen to her. She, in principle, believed this was the Lord's leading, but she didn't have peace about it yet. I've asked her to come up and tell what the Lord did as she prayed and as she sought the Lord for how he was leading and how she could have peace about that.
Okay, so since I didn't have that peace, does that make me having less faith and trust? Because it doesn't. As a child, I was raised with a very praying mom. And I saw even the hardship she went through, the power of a living God. And so when I didn't have that peace, I had the faith and I had the belief, I started praying. But it wasn't about coming here. It was about something totally different. 3 years ago, I had a major injury. I fell from 5.5 feet, and I was needing to do 3 or 4 surgeries on my whole left side. And I was praying, saying, God, I don't want conventional surgeries. I need you to heal me. I need you to give me a restructure of balance in my body and in my mind. And I would like to go to Weimar. And so as I was praying, saying, God, if you really want us to go, and I was even praying about that as well. I said, God, I really don't know about this call. I have a nice, comfortable job. I have great support. I have a wonderful family here. I can visit with grandma anytime I want. But Lord, if you want me to go, then you need to make it plain. Now, I have 2 mottos in life, and that's number 1 is attempt things large enough that failure is guaranteed unless God steps in. And my 2nd motto in life is retreat in prayer before the charge after he has given you the command. And so as I was praying and I was reading and I was saying, Lord, open it up if this is where you want me to go. I was reading Jeremiah 29:11, and that's, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. So as I was praying, Lord, if you want me to go to Weimar, then you make it possible. I get a text on my phone in the midst of my prayer, and I usually don't answer my phones when I'm praying, but I looked it over, and on that text was a friend of mine saying, Stephanie, would you like to go to Weimar? And I text that person right back, and I said, yes, but do you know how much it costs? And they texted me right back, and they said, yes, but I would like to send you there. Would you be willing to go? And I said, you are an answer to prayer. If that is what God is impressing you to do, then yes. So I went to Weimar from September 30th until October. The first Sabbath I was there, I stayed back behind while everybody else went to church. And where'd my notes go? Did it fall? Okay. Because I've been confined to these little notes. So anyhow, as I stayed back behind, I was praying and praying some more, saying, God, do you really know what you're doing and sending us here? I just need validation in a major way that this is the appointed place that you want us to go. So as I was praying, I get a call on my cell phone in my room, and it's the nurse on the other end saying, Stephanie, a woman just showed up to the campground. She said she's here and she needs to pray with somebody who's doubting something in their life. And do you want a mission project? And I'm thinking, no, I'm not here for that. I'm here for peace and I'm here for rest and I'm here to be blessed and receive and just leave me alone. But I told her, okay, take the woman to lunch, and I'll be over there shortly when I ask God what this is all about. So as I prayed for another hour, I got up there, and I looked at the woman who was sitting there, and I said to her, why are you here? What is your name? What is your purpose? And where are you from? And give me your history and your story, because we all have a story. And she said, I woke up this morning. I'm a prayer warrior like you. And she said, and I live in Rockland, and God impressed me that I needed to pray with somebody who is doubting something in their life. Why are you running from God? And I said, well, if I'm running from God and God has sent you to tell me, then you tell me what it is and let him tell you what it is. And so she said, well, he hasn't told me, but he will. And so she told me that she was from Rockland and how God had healed her a year ago, that she was a prayer warrior, that she came to Lodi weekly for prayer time with another group of prayer warriors. And that she worked for a radio station. And so in the course of that, the nurse said, "I need to go. Can I leave you here?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so we went outside and we started talking. And she said, "Stephanie, I'd like to pray with you and anoint you. And as we pray, God will reveal what it is." And so as she prayed with me, God started revealing through her everything that I had been praying about in that room. And she said, "It's a move, isn't it?" And I said, "What's a move?" And she said, "You're doubting a move in your life?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, why are you doubting that? You've known, you just didn't want to accept." And so as we prayed and as we, Lord opened up, I mean, she told me things on my heart and my mind that I had been praying about very personally. So I thanked her, took her name and her phone number, and went back to my room to process this, thinking, "Lord, whatever just happened there, if I do not have a witness, somebody's going to think I'm crazy if I go talking about this kind of stuff." And so I started praying, saying, "God, what just happened there?" And before I left, the woman said to me, "Prepare. Prepare during this time as to what's coming ahead," she said. She said, "because God wants to use us, and God has a bigger picture and a plan for all of our lives. And he wants to use you and your husband in the Lodi area." So as I was praying about this and processing this, I get a text from the nurse saying, "Where are you? Are you okay? Is she a psycho woman?" And I'm like, "Where are you?" And she said, "I'm right here." And she opens up the door to my room with her key. And she said, "We need to process this, Stephanie." And I said, "Yes, we do. Let's go talk." So she said, "First of all, I'm sorry for putting you in that position. I didn't mean to do that." And I said, "You do not need to apologize. Stop. I needed to hear what that woman had to say." And she said, "Well, can I tell you something without you thinking that I'm crazy?" And I said, "If I can tell you something without you thinking that I'm crazy." And she said, "Do you know that when that woman showed up," she said, "I had been at my desk praying about something very personal in my life." And she said, "And you know it took you an hour to get there, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, as we prayed, that woman addressed those very issues as well." So I looked the woman up, of course, to see if she's who she is. And sure enough, she was who she said she was. She worked for K-Love Radio Station. And before she left, I had even mentioned to her, "Where did you say you're from?" And she said, "The Rockland area." And I said, "Well, you know, I'd like to hook you up with a pastor in that area." And she said, "Sure, what church?" And I said, "Well, Waltgroff Grace." And she finished it off, and she was familiar with the church. Now, she's not a Seventh-day Adventist, and so, but she's just a seeker for God. So debriefing with the nurse gave me that witness and gave me that peace that I needed. Now, I had the faith to step out, because I have another motto in my life, and that's step out onto the stairway, even if you can't see those steps. And I believe that God's going to build this church, and we're going to have an awesome experience in this church as we work together for whatever God has plans in this church. And so as we pray individually of what God wants us to do and how we are to work together, I know that he's just going to open up a marvelous opportunity for each one of us here. And so I appreciated the song that that girl sang, too. I was thinking about it, too. "Spirit, lead me where my trust is. Without borders, may I walk upon the waters."
Amen. Thank you, Stephanie. Is God alive and well? God is alive and well. Go ahead and just keep that. God is alive and well. He wants to lead you. I love the scripture that was shared just before the prayer. Come to him as a living sacrifice. He's not trying to hide his way from you. He's trying to show you. But the only way that he can, the only way that there's a valid point for him to show you his way, is if you want his way, whatever that way may be. And he has called us to come to him in prayer with what? Confidence. Not confidence in ourselves, but confidence that his heart is for us and confidence that he has the way that is the best way of all. That we can put ourselves in his hands and we will be taken care of. It might be adventurous, it might be scary sometimes, but it will be safe, it will be good, it will be right, and it will be what in the end we would want all along. Some people say prayer changes things. And I say no. God changes things when we come to him in prayer. Prayer is no magic. He is the power. He is the love. He is the one that is worth coming to and coming to. Why do you think it says pray without ceasing? Because he wants us always connected. Because he wants to always be able to unfold his path and give us everything that we need to walk it. I love the same word, confidence. We find it in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly, that's the same word, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's no need to be afraid. Coming to him is the only thing to do. We need to do it individually and we need to do it together. His arms are open wide. He's been anxiously waiting for us to come to him at every opportunity with every dirty and clean and wondering and knowing thing in our lives. He's been dying literally for us to come to him. As Stephanie and I sing a song in closing, a familiar song, I want you to think about that. And I want us together as individuals and as a church family, to give him the answer that he's waiting for, not just once in your life, but every day of your life. Yes, Lord, I come.
You said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came here to stay. I just had to pray.
And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I know that without God,
Father, we come to you today. In Romans 8, you told us straight out, we don't even know what to pray for. But we thank you so much that we can just come to you, take our futures, our presents, and our pasts to you, put them in your hands, and even the longings of our hearts that we can't put into words, your Spirit brings into clear understanding with you. And you will lead us. You will show us the way. If you would like to join with me today in this prayer of saying, Lord, take me, I'm yours. Could you stand with us? Lord, we are here together as a family. Not all of us. There are others of us who are traveling, others of us who are in different places. But Father, we are together in this. We look to you. Sometimes even when we think we know what to do, it's not true. We don't know what to do. We look to you. We give ourselves to you. And we present ourselves as living sacrifices today. And thank you that you have promised to accept us poor and broken as we are in your family and to lay out the path before us and give us everything we need to get all the way home with the people that you reach through us and with each other. Thank you that this is all not only possible, but certain. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray these things in his name. Amen.